contacting him in on the network, getting out and about at 13 minutes after the hour, 17 minutes away from the top of the hour for those with us on Central Time, as we broadcast from the studios of Galari Media here in Broome, heading down to Perth, where we're now catching up with Eugene McMahon. He's been living in Perth, a resident there, for a few years. No doubt, perhaps because of medical reasons, but he has his own story in reference to work that was done during the late 70s and 80s by the Agricultural Protection Board, where weeding took place and the usage of 2,4,5 herbicide was used unprotectedly by these guys that were carrying out the work at that time, mainly for weed control. Eugene, hello, welcome, and thank you for talking to us. Much appreciated.
No worries, Andy. I'm happy to talk to people and spread the news.
What are you doing in Perth? Is it for health reasons, or you just decided to go down for cooler weather?
Run away from the heat was one of it, but no, it was medical reasons that I came down. Had cancer in one of my kidneys.
I also believe you were only home recently talking to people. In fact, you've got around 30 interviews, hoping to put a documentary together about work that was done in the 70s and 80s.
Yes. That all came about because of a notice in Sunday Times that the government denied the use of any Agent Orange in the Kimberleys, or mainly in Australia, or Western Australia. But since then, we've replied back to the newspaper, the Sunday Times, and then met up with Alex, who does the videoing and that for me. And we started off as a crew, and it sort of snowballed from there. We did an interview with Sue Sinclair. Yeah, because it was my brother that passed away in 83. And then, back in 2015, I think it was, his son passed away at the age of 31.
That's very young.
Yeah. It's very young, and it was because of the poison 2,4,5-T and 2,4-D that was used that the government denies ever importing, using in WA, or even making the stuff. But after our research in that, it did show that we've got documents showing that it did happen here in WA. And there's no denying it. The same people that we interviewed, they've been trying to sort it out, lawyers and that, and through a legal side of it. Taken them nearly 35 years and they've gotten nowhere. We started to do it the modern way through multimedia and getting their stories out, letting them tell their own stories in their own words, which has been a great success. And we end up doing 30 interviews in West Kimberley, and it's a lot of these young fellas I know personally, and seeing them how they are today, it's just shocking. Government should own up to it. But they were having a showing of the documentary at Blotry's house on the 21st. If you'd like to get as many people there as possible, registration will be at the door or on Facebook.
What's your story? What do you remember?
I was away at the army at the time when I came back and saw my brother been working in Derby. In the yards there, and saw the drums. And asked them about the drums, questioned them about the drums, and they were just black drums with the plastic lining inside. And they were told by their employers that you can bath in it, but you can't drink it. And I said, you know what you got there? And they said, no, it's all right, it's harmless. I said, no, it's not. That's Agent Orange that they used in Vietnam. I said, it kills the plant within half an hour. I said, and they said, yeah, plant goes yellow after we spray it. It dies off real quick. I said, yeah, that's what it does. And they were told, yeah, you can bath in it, but you can't drink it. This is from our good government that's denying everything at the moment. And I believe the Pigram Boys actually made a song about it. Rainwater, the drinking in that, yeah. So it's been around for a while, 30-odd years, and now we're doing something about it and spreading it out to the people through multimedia. And hopefully after all this, we'll do the documentary and take it to the UN.
Eugene, so your time in the army would have given you knowledge of what your brother and others were working with?
Whilst I was in the army, I've heard all about it and told all the stories about how the Agent Orange worked and then how they scraped in Vietnam. They'd drop it by plane over a thick jungle. Everything that's in that jungle, from the foliage of the trees, animals, everything got poisoned. And then another plane would come through and burn it all with a incendiary bomb. And so everything in that area, it all get killed and died.
That's what you see when you see old footage of...
Yeah, when you look at the old footage, some of the old war movies where the plane comes in and drops a bomb, and then there's a big ball of fire.
Yes.
That's the incendiary bombs that they drop. And anything in that, because it's got white phosphorus in it, it gets on the air and it just burns. You end up dying. That's how they used to clear the jungle in front of wherever they set up the harbour for the night.
You didn't... This has been talked about for a while, and it's always kind of been in denial. They say some people have gotten compensated, but compensation's nothing, especially when it affects generations, and that's been evident, really, isn't it?
One thing is, how can you put a price on a person's life? You know, for what some of those boys that did get paid, you know, $30,000 doesn't go far, not in today. And there wasn't that many that did get paid out. The rest of the fellas there, their families, you know, the ones that are left behind, they've still received nothing. And this is going on 35 years. So hopefully we can get something done. One of the main things that I'm chasing is actually acknowledgement from the government. Yes, they did use it. And yes, they are going to do something about it, so that it won't happen ever again. And the third part would be that the families be compensated for their loss of family.
And it wasn't just a problem here in the West Kimberley. I understand it was in the East Kimberley as well.
Oh, it goes a lot further than that. We were lucky that my researcher, Magley, she's a mad book reader, and she discovered a book in a small country town of York, down in just out of Perth. As the book turned out, it's the Agricultural Journal, dating back to 1958. And when she opened it up and found a page there that eradication of the Kimberley wallaby all around the Fitzroy Valley region, Kununurra, Ford River. That was done back in 1955 to 57. And that was sort of getting rid of the wallaby plus all other native food that ever drank the water at the waterholes that they poisoned. So this has been going on for years, and it's just been covered up. And finding all this in our research, you know, it's, how can people deny it? You know, you get picked for drunk driving or something, you go to jail. You know, you get charged. It's a crime. This is a crime. It's a form of indirect genocide that the government has done for many years and still doing it.
Is there poisons still out there? Is that country still affected?
Yeah, with this 245T and 24D, once the workers get it in their system, it will stay in their system till the day they die. But not only that, it can go on to anything up to 4 to 5 generations within that one family.
Within that one family.
Within that one family, yeah. So you're looking at, yeah, 5, 6 generations down the road, we're still going to have the same problem. Some of the stuff that has come out, maybe they're all just waiting for these workers to disappear. Then it'll be all forgotten. But I don't think so, because it's going to be around, and it's... it causes a lot of medical reasons, from deformity, infectious, yeah, people's organs, everything. It's a terrible thing to have. And if your family member has got it, you'll understand. There's one family, from the interviews, I believe it's 1, 2, 3, possibly 4 or 5 members, male members, have passed on already because of the use of this Agent Orange that the government denies. We know where it came from, where it went to, and how it got to Derby, and how it got to Broome, to all the ag departments. And it even came all the way down here to Perth. It was used way back in the early 70s down in Perth. It's a large area, and it's not only WA that received this poison, it's all over Australia, South Australia, Victoria. In Victoria, there's a town called Yarran that's been affected with it. And they've been trying to do something about it for over 30-odd years as well. And then you've got our Vietnam vets. Some of them are still waiting to get compensated.
And Eugene, have you guys spoken to others, perhaps around the country, about this particular topic? Have you created some kind of unity?
No, not at this stage. We have been getting contacts from different areas, people sending in information and stuff and that, and so it's great, and trying to get in contact with some up in Queensland. Apparently there's a group up there as well that's trying to tackle the same thing that we're doing. But we sent out a lot of letters to all the federal members of Parliament, and the only one that we've had interaction with mainly is Robin Chappell.
Interesting. Well, hopefully we can perhaps get some interest as well from other countrymen, especially.
Even with this whole thing, this project wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for a couple of Derby boys that backed us up and provided the funding so that we could carry out our project. And it's Colin McCumstey, his two sons, and Peter McCasker and his wife. They all Derby residents, grew up in Derby. And they provided the funding for us to do our trip up north to the West Kimberley and for the East Kimberley. And then you've got other groups that help with the sponsorship to our venues. As Nicola Maher Aboriginal Corporation, the First Nation Homeless Project, and the Institute Social Justice and Human Rights. They help with pay for the venues and what's happening up there this coming week.
That documentary...
We've had no help from the government. There's no government funding at all.
And that documentary here in Broome on the 21st at Lotteries, you said?
Yeah, at Lottery House, starting at 6:30.
Yep.
There will be a registration sheet at the front, so we can keep a record of everybody that came, and they're thankful for them as well. So we want to get the story out there, so we'd like to see as many as we can get and follow our stories.
Uh-huh. And in also Derby, that documentary will be shown.
Derby as well. We've just secured the site there, Derby, at the Civic Centre. That's on Friday the 23rd. We'll be showing the documentary down at the Civic Centre in Derby. And after Derby, then Magley and I will be travelling up through Fitzroy Crossing over the weekend to Horse Creek. To the following Monday, we'll be up in Kununurra doing some more interviews all the way along the road. So we want to get another documentary done, another 30 interviews, and put it all together so that we can take it to the United Nations Human Rights.
Well, our thoughts are with you. So is all of the support from many across the country. Eugene, thank you for sharing your story.
All right, thank you for doing the interview and that. I just want to get the word out there for everybody. And yeah, please support us. And it's our people that are suffering, so let's do something about it. Make this government accountable.
That's all we can do. Again, thank you. And see you on the 21st.
Sure will.
Okay.
Thank you, Sandy.
Thank you. Eugene McMahon sharing his story, and in fact, that'll be seen through a documentary, a collection of stories from families that were affected through the herbicide use of 2,3,4,6, 2,4,5-T. Used by the Agricultural Protection Board back in the 70s and 80s. And, it's a story many people around the Kimberley know only too well, how families were affected through cancers and deformities. And it's very much... turned out to be Agent Orange, the same kind of chemical as Eugene mentioned, used during the Vietnam War. So, pretty dangerous.